You focus a lot of your research on the U.S. Supreme Court. We have President-elect Trump. He's going to have one nomination for sure, and then potentially a couple more. Put that into an historical context.
The thing about Supreme Court nominations and appointments in the 20th and 21st century is as life expectancies have gone up, each appointment has now decades-long ramifications in terms of law and social policy. Now, some presidents, like Jimmy Carter, are so unfortunate as to go 4 years with not a single appointment. But President Obama was looking to have three justices in 8 years, if not four, really strong obstruction by the Republicans in the Senate over the last 9 months. President-elect Trump will have one opportunity. Certainly, people identify justices who have been serving, who are more advanced in age, who have had recent health problems, and said there is potential, hard to put a probability on it, potential for several more appointments.
That's really what could change the balance of power on the Supreme Court. And I think that's what makes a lot of Republicans excited about a possible Trump pick and Democrats pretty worried.
That's exactly right. Replacing Antonin Scalia with a traditionally conservative judge, assuming Trump goes that way, that basically maintains the status quo with the court. However, if you were to replace, say, Justices Breyer or Ginsburg with Trump appointees, that does alter the median vote of the court in a pretty significant way. Exit polling has been showing that of voters who thought the Supreme Court was the most important issue to them, actually 21% in one exit poll said this, these voters went 55-39 for Donald Trump. So clearly that motivation of reshaping the court definitely inspired a number of Republicans in this last election.
Whereas maintaining the status quo on the court wasn't as motivating for the left.
It's harder to get fired up about protecting what you already have as opposed to gaining something new or overturning a policy that you vehemently disagree with.
During the presidential campaign, Trump released a list of names of people he may choose for the court. One of those is our own state Supreme Court justice. I know no one knows what he's going to do, but how likely is it that it will be someone from that list?
It's hard to say. It's hard to read the early behavior of the Trump transition team in terms of how conventional they'll be with appointments. Certainly, a state Supreme Court justice would be unorthodox. Our current court is composed of people who have experience in the federal judiciary exclusively. There are many people on that list who did not attend an elite Ivy League law school, which would be a change as well. Some might say a breath of fresh air from the current dominance of Harvard and Yale Law School on the court. I think the list was put out there to mollify evangelical and conservative voters and politicians who are concerned about the direction of his appointees. But he, I think, has indicated that he views the list as a guideline, as a suggestion.
What would be the timeline for this, and how soon after his inauguration do you think we'll see a nomination? How quickly will it move through the Senate, and when will the person actually just be on the job?
I think you will see quick action. The vacancy will have carried on for almost a year by the time the inauguration occurs, so the court itself is understaffed, and they need that ninth justice.
Hindsight's 2020, but Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had the right strategy, it looks like, when he did not push through Merrick Garland.
That's completely right. It is remarkable that such a prolonged and extended bout of total obstruction appears to not only have had no electoral consequences, but in fact to have paid off richly in this opportunity.
Having said that, if the rules were reversed, I doubt that Democrats would have pushed a Republican through.
Yes, if, for example, the vacancy had been created by Ruth Bader Ginsburg stepping down and a Republican president were to try and fill that seat, I think you would absolutely see a very similar level of obstruction and resistance.
That was Assistant Professor of Political Science Matthew P. Hitt. Thanks.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
I'm Benta Berkland in Fort Collins.